Hi, today is June 10th, 2018. This is Mobile Views Podcast number 258. I'm Todd Ogasaward, my good friend John Westfall. And last week we did a pre-WWDC. This week we're going to do a WWDC highlights or low lights or dark theme or
some lights. I mean, this is why I'm in the purest of Apple modes today. I'm on an iPad and using a pair of Beats headset to record. Although I guess I'm usually in a pure Apple mode when I'm on a MacBook Pro and using Apple EarPods. So I'm in slightly more modern Mac mode today, I guess.
Okay. You know? Mobile Mac mode.
Yeah. Mobile Mac.
Yeah. We'll start off a couple of non-Mac-ish things, though. Number one is, I don't think we mentioned VPN filter last week, but VPN filter malware, which is infecting routers. I should note, these are consumer-grade routers, you know, like the ones you and I probably have.
Mine was added to the list this week. I was not too thrilled about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, that it had been said to infect 500,000 devices about a week ago. But now it might be higher because more devices, as John just mentioned, were added to the list. I don't think mine's on the list. Or one is, and the one I bought to replace it is not. So I just kind of rebooted it, and the one I have now, and I'll replace it with a different, so far, not affected.
Now, it is magical that the fix is a reboot.
Well, not for everybody, it turns out, too. That was the other thing. So I think the FBI's advice was to simply reboot, that's all. Reboot your router and it would disappear from memory and presumably you'd get infected again, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also read that for some models, and I can't say I have the details because, too long didn't read, but for some models, affected models, you have to do a factory reset.
Well, this will be interesting. My router, because I'm one of these people that realizes that routers get annoyed if they're not rebooted frequently enough.
Yeah.
I actually have a little, it's an old APC device that they made years ago for data centers that is a remote power strip.
Yeah.
So I basically have it programmed every night, a device basically logs in through Telnet, because that's how old this thing is, and reboots my router and reboots my cable modem just to make sure that everything is running as well as it can the next day. So I'd be curious to see how this goes. Hopefully device manufacturers will get patches. My router
I somehow doubt it, but okay.
Well, my router gets firmware updates at least once every couple of months.
Really?
Yeah.
Because my router, the one I'm currently using, I think the last firmware update it got was like a year ago. And I checked recently, so.
Mine is fairly often updated, although it's also a fairly expensive router.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of the top-of-the-line router that this company makes, and they, I think, have a vested interest in adding new features as quickly as possible to it.
Yeah.
So.
My and I should really say, my router slash access points have died so frequently. You know, their lifespan for me has been about 3 years, maybe 4 years. That I keep a backup on hand, usually a low-end backup in case stuff just goes kablooey and I need something. Mm-hmm. Although I just bought I guess it's a mid-range router by today's standards. But it was still cheap. It was still like less than $100. So I was pretty happy. It was one of those, used to be $200 2 years ago, but now the model is aging, so.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, so VPN filter malware. Go look up I have a Ars Technica article I'll link in the podcast show notes on mobileviews.com, and you can go see if your device is on the list. And it's a long list. Okay, something else. This is one of those things I didn't know was still on.
Not many people did.
Yahoo Messenger is shutting down on July 17th. And there's apparently a way to go get your old messages, so I did, but apparently I haven't used it in such a long time that I don't have any old messages that it's archived, which I guess is okay, because I don't really remember.
It's somewhat interesting that these instant messaging services are still around, some of them, and that they still exist, because I do wonder who they target, who actually is using them, and I don't think it's anyone in most of the world, although I could think there are some countries out there where these might still be very popular.
You know who I think it is?
People who've been stuck in a time rift.
Yeah, basically it's people who are not techies, who who are still running Windows XP or older. And you know, their cohorts are all on, you know, whatever it is they're using, AIM or Yahoo Messenger, and they never got off it.
That could be it. Yeah. That's a scary thought, that hardware. I guess you could find hardware that has somehow been miraculously untouched by physical default or defect or any other thing, but it just, it seems like that number should be dwindling. Apparently it is, yeah. And that's why Yahoo Messenger is going away. AIM has gone away.
Yep.
It's Windows Live Messenger went away.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
ICQ, I think, is still in some incarnation kicking.
Really?
I read
okay, I got to look this up.
Week. I read something earlier this week where someone said, what's going to be next? ICQ. And I have this vague thought. I didn't check into it. Maybe someone was just being very humorous at the moment.
Checking now.
But I have this vague thought that I don't remember it actually dying at some point.
It is not only dead, but it got a new stable release as recently as June 27, 2016. So less than 2 years ago.
Well.
Wow. That's that's pretty impressive, actually. Oh, get this. Get this. ICQ on the App Store, the iPhone App Store.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 4.6 rating with 9,640 reviews. Seriously.
You know, I still remember my ICQ number. Wow. But
I don't
remember what the password would be to it.
I don't remember my ICQ number. I don't remember my CompuServe account. Some people remember their CompuServe account numbers. I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Anywho. Okay, so if you're sad about Yahoo Messenger, we're sad for you, but move on.
But tough.
Yeah, it's like me and the spot watch, man. You just got to move on.
That only took 7 years.
Well, you know, I didn't say you have to move on quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Next item, and you know, ever since the, we try not to get political here, but ever since the 2016 elections, I have had less and less faith in surveys of any kind. I don't know why, but let's just say I do. But anyway, the NTIA, the U.S. federal government's National Telecommunications, what is it, what's the I for? Infrastructure Administration, released a, their, I think it's an annual, I guess it's annual. Annual survey of Americans, device use. Well, actually, it's broadband and device use, but we'll skip the broadband part because I think that data is bogus. And I think this data may be bogus too, since they don't tell us how they did the survey, or I didn't read that part. But anyway, 64% of Americans use a smartphone in 2017, right? This is older data compared to 53% in 2015. Tablet, this is the part I'm having, and remember, this is the 2017 data, so it's, you know, a year old.
Yeah.
But tablet use increased from 29% in 2015 to 32% in 2017. And I guess that's relatively flat, so it's possible. But I didn't think tablet use was going up. I don't know, John.
I don't know. I think tablet use inches up as people find more uses for tablets.
Yeah. And maybe it's how they define tablets, too. Like, is a Surface Pro 4 a tablet?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
But I also think there are certain things that tablets are starting to inch their way into. So, for example, in a random weird place, cash registers.
That's true.
Point of sale systems. Mm-hmm. And I think of one of our local restaurants that now uses iPads as their wait staff uses them to take your order. And it communicates with the kitchen and all that. And I think of that as one of those ways where tablets are starting to become more common. And that has sort of a ripple effect. Yeah. Obviously, you get the sales of those tablets, but also you get perhaps someone who hadn't used the tablet before now coming in contact with it during their work and going, maybe I actually want one of these things. Hmm. I can see, you know, the older woman who's never really had a tablet goes to work one day. Mm-hmm. They tell her, hey, starting today, you're taking orders on this thing.
Yeah.
And she starts using it and goes, maybe I would want some one of these things. And I know from experience, I have a few friends who are older that they use tablets for things that I don't. It's not a primary use of my tablet. So, mm-hmm. for example, for my tablet, it's content consumption,
right.
communication, right. looking up information. For one of my neighbors, it is purely to play card games.
Hmm.
You know, solitaire. And
yeah, that's what we use Windows for.
That. Yeah, so it's just finding people the right device for what they want to do. And for some people, I think that's a tablet to their own shock and surprise.
Well, you know, I kind of had the opposite demographic that I was thinking about. That's younger people. Because, and by younger people, I mean, you know, kind of teens through early 20s who think they can do everything on their phone. And then come in contact with a tablet, go, oh, it's like a big freaking phone. And, you know, they go to work and they get this big freaking phone to, you know, take orders on and whatever. Oh, this is actually easier to see.
It's a bigger phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be the case. Although I think for all those people that are trying to use their phones for things that they really shouldn't, their answer is not a tablet. It's a computer.
Yeah.
But that's true. I hadn't thought of that too much, but that could be one area of new user.
Okay. Now, moving on through this data. And I'm only looking at the devices data because, like I said, I think the broadband stuff is questionable. But smartwatches and fitness bands, which they combine into a single category, which makes sense to me, says it was 1% in 2015 and 8% as of last year, 2017. And I can believe that. I would say a eightfold increase. Mm-hmm. The number of Apple Watches alone I see on the civilian non-techie population is remarkable to me.
It is amazing to me, too. Just the people that we would have, I think, 10 years ago said, you have no earthly business needing a smartwatch.
Yeah.
And they have it. And apparently they enjoy it.
They're happy.
Wearing it every day.
Yeah. I also see a lot of various Fitbit bands. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people who are not techies by nature are buying them and using them, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. The last item. Oh, darn. Did I miss it? I was going to look. Oh, for some reason, I didn't capture that. Let me go back to. I have the page open. Oh, here we go. Laptop use was unchanged from in those years. 46% of Americans. However, desktop use. Let's see. They don't see what it was in 2015. Sorry. Looking. Okay. So desktop computers were in use by 45% of Americans. Am I reading this right? I think so. 45% in 2011, down to 30% in 2017. So desktop use continues to plummet, I think, to no one's surprise. Mostly because I think notebooks are now more affordable. I mean, even though it's unchanged, you know, those who would have replaced their desktops with another desktop are far and few between.
Plus, a lot of stores that I know that carry computers don't carry as many or if any desktops anymore.
Or those stores are gone.
Yeah, I think of stores like Walmart.
Yeah.
That I think all they carry are laptops. I don't think they carry desktops.
Boy, you know, I haven't. I mean, I walked into Walmart just the other day, but I didn't look at the computing section. So,
Tablets and laptops.
You know, the other place, Costco, I strolled through Costco the other day and I was looking at some computing accessories, but I didn't do a head count on desktops. I think they still carry desktops, though. Mm-hmm. Costco and Sam's Club. But anyway, the other thing that NTIA reports, based on, you know, the data we just summarized, is that tablet use has surpassed desktop use for the first time, which I found interesting. You know, and it goes to your point that tablets are computers.
Yeah.
You know, you and I probably segregate our use, and, you know, tablets, like you said, tablets are mostly for consumption, some creative, you know, writing and stuff, but I think most of us would still do that on a laptop. I was going to say desktop, but that's not true. I don't even have a desktop at work. So, interesting, you know, tablets surpassed, that's the big news, right? Tablets surpassed desktop for the first time last year. Okay, and now, getting on to WWDC. You know, John, I got to tell you.
you're not whelmed, you're not overwhelmed, and you're not even whelmed.
I'm not even whelmed, you know. I won't say I'm underwhelmed. Okay, I'm underwhelmed. But the only two things I found, well, let's see, what did I find not interesting? Well, let me rephrase that. No Mac Mini.
That's true.
No iPad Mini Pro. No new MacBook Air. So, okay, all those things were not... Okay, we really didn't expect the iOS stuff. But I kind of hoped the new Mac Mini would have been at least, you know, quietly launched during WWDC. Mm-hmm. Maybe one would have been under every seat of the attendees. I don't know. But or at least a MacBook Air. But okay, it was a developer conference. MacBook Air is not considered a developer device. I get it. Okay, we'll go straight to the one thing I found interesting from WWDC, and that's the walkie-talkie function that will be coming to the Apple Watch. That was it. That's the only thing I found interesting.
I find that really interesting, and I think that's going to replace a lot of people's need for a two-way radio in a workplace.
Yeah.
I could see a company saying, let's go to this instead of dedicated two-way radios, especially if our campus is covered in Wi-Fi and connectivity would be good. I'm looking forward to using that between myself and others in my office just for quick messages, especially during very busy times when picking up the phone can be a hassle, try to get someone on the line, but that could be a lot quicker.
I foresee it as reducing the amount of yelling in my little home. And generally, the yelling consists of this: "Hey, can you pick up the phone? It's for you." We still have a landline. If you don't have a landline, I guess there's no use for you. But in my home, that's how it works. Also, well, can you come downstairs? You know, currently I text people in my home. So, anyway, and they're upstairs and I'm downstairs, or vice versa. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping to get rid of. Anyway, for you, well, you found other things interesting, which I did.
Yeah, I did WWDC this year the way that I usually do it.
Yeah.
Well, I try to do it. This is the first year it's worked out in a while, where I was actually able to come home and watch it and kind of watch the keynote live.
I
got maybe 80% of it live.
Right.
And I was shocked that it wasn't actually more developer-y, in a sense. A lot of the stuff was consumer refinements. Not a lot of developers can access these new features, or let's show how this interfaces with that.
Right.
And occasionally Apple does that, especially with the iMessage upgrades last year and the year before. There was a lot of, hey, look how you'll be able to plug in things to iMessage, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to say that I was disappointed, because there are actually some things I thought were pretty interesting. I thought taking aim at Bitmoji by having Memoji.
Okay, what's Memoji? I don't even know what that is.
Well, you have to remember, Apple loves taking down its, some of its own popular apps that others on their have created for their platform.
Yep. So,
Bitmoji are these little characters that you design to look like yourself.
Yep.
And then you can send stickers and iMessage and all that. Well, Memoji is what Apple is calling an emoji that looks like you. So on the iPhone X, you can create your Memoji and record it saying things or doing things. It's a cute little feature. I do use an emoji maybe once every couple of weeks, so maybe I'll use it more if it looks like me.
Does it only work on the iPhone X?
You can only send it on the iPhone
X. Only send it, okay.
You can receive it. You can view it anywhere else.
Okay. But so basically it's for iPhone X 1%ers.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was an interesting thing I thought of Apple cannibalizing one of its own developers.
Yeah.
But also, we have Apple bought Workflow a few years ago, the Workflow app, or actually they bought it about a year ago.
Okay.
And Siri Shortcuts is exactly Workflow. It looks the same. It's the same idea. And I think that'll be fun to bring that out to a larger group. I can see people creating custom workflows and also custom Siri commands. And ironically, the demo they gave where they said, "Hey, Siri, I've lost my keys," is exactly something that I think my assistant at work will need, because she loses her keys very often. And I actually bought her a tile tracker so that she could find her keys. And she's used it many, many times in my presence and probably countless times outside of my presence.
Oh, that's good. That was a good gift then. A very good gift.
Yes, I try to, It was indirectly benefiting office productivity, because she's able to get to the office on time.
That's funny.
But some of the bigger announcements that I was very happy with: group FaceTime.
Okay, now that was interesting. Coming. Yeah, I found that interesting.
Not only interesting in that it's coming, but that it supports 32 people at the same time.
Yeah.
And that it looks like Apple has a semi-logical way of organizing it so that 32 people, you're hearing who you want to hear, and you're seeing their little windows and things like that. I thought that was really, rather than going with like a grid that would look horrible if it was 32 equally sized squares
on an iPhone.
yeah, the approach of having these little floating windows that get bigger as people talk, I thought was a cool analog to basically enable that. So group FaceTime is without a doubt the thing I'm most looking forward to in iOS 12, because I do use FaceTime regularly with family, and I think this will allow for, hey, so-and-so, jump on the call and we'll chat. And, you know, oh, we have a question for so-and-so, let's see if we can bring them on the call or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask you something, since you're a frequent FaceTime user, in of the current version. Do you find that FaceTime is less efficient on a broadband network than, say, Skype? In other words, does your video break up sooner or more frequently when using FaceTime compared to when using Skype?
Actually, Skype and Zoom are the two that I think are flakier than FaceTime.
Really?
I've hardly ever had FaceTime break up regularly with broadband. If the broadband connection's stable, I've had no problems with it.
Interesting. I've had the opposite. So, not to say that Skype is really good, but less bad, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and with video, video conferencing, less bad is, I think, what we can always go for.
Yeah,
because good is hardly ever something that you get.
Right, good is not achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. What's the word? Blanking out. But at any rate,
it ain't gonna happen.
It ain't gonna happen is what it is. Yeah,
I did think the macOS and the watchOS updates were. I was just whelmed to underwhelmed for those.
Yeah.
WatchOS, okay, we're taking on more of what Fitbit has been doing, but we're not really adding too much in terms of what the watch can do at this point.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a major kind of feature add to WatchOS next year, especially as some of the rumors about thinner Apple watches, potentially with cameras, all of those things come in. Probably not Gen 4 watches, but I would think Gen 5 might have that.
Yeah,
I'm just happy that Apple Watch is a thing that Apple is continuing. It doesn't look like they're killing off anytime soon.
No, I think it's doing well. Like I said, I see Apple Watches on an inordinate number of people's wrists. You know, one thing I did read is a rumor. It was not announced at WWDC, I think, and that the rumor is that some near future Apple Watch is going to not have any physical buttons anymore, like the iPhones.
Yeah, I did see that too. That would all be capacitive touch.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see how that works. And I have to say, I don't really use the buttons on the watch I have now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see how it works out. Now, the one thing I was wondering about is if they add a camera to the watch, presumably it'd be for video conferencing. You know, the Dick Tracy wristwatch concept. So does that mean we're going to be looking up people's nostrils a lot? I mean, how's that going to work?
I suspect that's why we haven't seen a camera yet.
Yeah.
That it's still one of those human interface problems that Apple is trying to sort out.
I mean, if people can't turn their... I was going to say a bad word. If people can't turn their wonderful smartphones from portrait to landscape mode when they're taking a video, do we really think they're going to not aim at their nostrils when they're talking to you on their watch? I don't think they know or care. They just going to think
you
it's
are probably
cool.
Right.
I don't know how many interesting videos I've seen where, you know, it just would have been even more interesting had they simply changed the orientation of their phone from portrait to landscape.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's all I'm saying, people. I mean, you know, if you're going to risk your life taking some crazy video of you standing on the top of a mountain almost falling down, at least take it in landscape mode. That's all I'm asking. But better yet, don't do dangerous things, but you know what I mean.
So macOS, one of the things that I thought was interesting, so Mojave will have the system-wide dark menu. That'll be interesting to see. There were all the changes I saw in macOS. I thought, yeah, that looks cool. I want that. But none of it was something where I said I have to have that immediately.
Right.
But as I was reading before our podcast, I read something that reminded me, and I thought this is kind of humorous. Do you remember the last time we heard Mojave as a name for something?
No, I can't say I do.
Do you remember when Vista came out and everyone hated it?
Yes.
And Microsoft had the Mojave Project?
No, I don't remember that.
That was their basically getting people in a room and saying, what did you think of Vista? And they say, oh, I think Vista's horrible. Then they have them use a new version, you know, the next version after Vista.
Right.
And they go, oh, this is great. And then they go, hey, that's actually Vista. They say, you know, this is Windows Mojave. And
It was a fake project.
Yeah. So someone brought that up on Reddit, and I saw that earlier today. I kind of laughed about that and went back and watched the Microsoft Mojave videos on that.
That's funny.
I don't think anyone on the planet really remembers that, but it is kind of humorous that the next version of Mac OS will share the name with a fake version of Windows that came out to try to make a real version of Windows seem less bad than it was.
Well, okay.
But otherwise, WWDC, I thought, had some interesting stuff this year. Maybe a little bit. I was overwhelmed on a very small percentage of it.
Oh,
FaceTime and Siri shortcuts and making Siri smarter by making it smarter. I think that's where Apple, you know, Siri gets a lot of hate in the tech press.
Yeah, and
although,
for me,
as Apple noted, Siri is the most used personal assistant because it's probably on the most devices.
Okay, I have a theory about that, but go ahead.
Okay, but I think Apple's mindset is, you know what you want your assistant to be able to do.
Yeah.
So let's help you make it do those things versus adding a bunch of abilities that you might not use in your assistant. And the example I can give of that is, in my house, I have both Amazon's personal assistant and Siri.
Right.
And oddly, and I guess this is just me because everyone hates Siri so much, Siri gets it right more often than Alexa.
I don't believe that's true. Not in my experience.
If I say and I'm in the room with her right now, so I can't say it too loudly.
Yeah.
If I say, what's the score of the Indians game?
Okay.
I get soccer scores from Europe out of
Indians?
Amazon. And basically an Indian soccer league.
Oh,
versus Siri, which always knows that I'm talking about the Cleveland Indians and tells me the right score of the game.
Hmm. Or maybe Siri simply isn't internationalized enough.
Maybe that's true. Siri might just have something against people from India.
Yeah.
Also, HomeKit has been much more stable for automation than iDevices iHome.
Yeah.
So, oddly enough, the same lights that I want to turn on, Siri can do them without a problem.
Yeah.
Alexa can't most of the time.
Yeah.
And so, it's weird for me to be in a situation where, for me, Alexa just doesn't seem to work as well as Siri does.
Yeah, and I should note that, you know, over a couple of weeks ago, my Echo stopped being able to communicate with one of my lamp switches. It just won't. There's nothing wrong with the switch. It works fine from its app on the phone. But Amazon decided, no, I don't want to talk to your switch anymore. Go ahead.
I did see a funny picture today that was of the Echo Echo View, whatever the one is that has a screen.
Spot.
Spot, yeah.
Yeah.
That someone had said, remember to feed the baby. And apparently Alexa had heard defeat.
Oh, no.
And now Alexa's trying to talk here to me. But, I like the picture of defeat the baby instead of feed the baby.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to my theory about why Apple can claim it's the most used audio assistant, whatever you want to call it. I think it's depending how they define used. If by used they mean activated, which I think is one way of measuring it. How many times a day do you accidentally activate Siri on your watch alone by bending your wrist up and touching the button? I must do it 10 times. I do it about like 5 times a day, I'm pretty sure. Maybe a fat wrist, I don't know. I've been thinking about turning my watch around just so the button's on the other side. But I swear I do that, I don't know. And then on the iPhone, same thing. Because of the touch, long press, whatever the heck, force touch, whatever the heck it is. I don't know how many times a day I accidentally activate Siri on my iPhone. And I never use it. I never ask it any questions because I know it's stupid. You know?
Well, maybe Siri just likes me. And I'm the only one in the United States that likes.
Siri, when are you going to become smarter?
It's about you, not me.
Wow. Attitude. Attitude. See, it's even got a bad attitude now. So Siri is not only not smart, it now has a bad attitude.
I think she just knows you don't like her. making you very confrontational.
But didn't you think that was not just confrontation, it was adversarial? but anyway.
Well, yeah. In any event, I found WWDC to be interesting. The other thing, and this is, I think, one of the most under-talked about features that I haven't seen in any of the, here are the highlights.
Right.
Do not disturb.
Mm.
If you long press on it in Command Center, it gives you the option to turn it on and automatically turn off after a certain amount of time at the end of your next appointment and when you next leave the location you're at.
I think Android does that now. I'm not sure. I'd have to go
there. Yeah, but this is something that will be, I think, very useful for people on iOS.
Yeah, definitely.
Be able to say, okay, I'm going into the movie theater right now. Let me just... Yeah. Tap this and tell it to turn off when I leave the movie theater. That, I think, will be a lot nicer than trying to... Cause I use Do Not Disturb at night, but I don't use it during the day because I forget to turn it on or forget to turn it off.
Yeah. Okay, let me try another thing. Siri, what is the big news from WWDC?
Okay, I found this on the web for Big.
The movie Big, by the way. Yeah, that's real helpful, Siri. Not at all. Siri, hashtag Siri, not helpful at all. Hey, I wonder if Echo knows. Alexa, what is the news from WWDC 2018?
I'm sorry, I didn't find any news sources matching your request.
Aw. Okay, Google, what's the news from WWDC?
That's not a name I can respond to.
Here's the latest. Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference concluded Friday in San Jose, California. The company announced iOS 12 and updates to Apple Watch and Mac OS.
Can you hear that, John?
Yeah.
I also sent three articles to you.
I give credit to Google.
Do you want to hear the first one?
Google has decided to answer the question Siri and Alexa will not answer.
Yep, and it sent news articles to my phone, too. Hmm. Yeah. Some opening.
Sorry, I can't help with that yet.
Yep. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool. I should note, however, let me see. When I say phone, it means my Android phone, not my iPhone. Because, you know, family, right? Blood is thicker than water and all that.
That'd be pretty funny if it just send it to every phone it knows of.
Yeah. It's like that, the Echo that sent a private conversation to via email to a contact or whatever. Yeah. And as I said to, you know, my friends in a private communication, if you get my email, you'll probably hear me talking to my pets. So, super exciting.
Yep, I understand that. I've talked to enough pets in my time, too.
Okay, maybe I'm whelmed. Maybe I'm whelmed.
We've upgraded you to whelmed.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I might even be approaching gruntled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... But this year, let's see, Google I.O., Microsoft, whatever the heck they have, Build, I guess, and WWDC. And even last week was Computex, right, in Taiwan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw anything interesting. I don't know. Oh, one thing that's not in our show notes that I don't know if we talked about it last week. We may have. But my Samsung Chromebook Plus is on the list to get the Linux app container feature. Sometime in the future, not now. You know, whenever they do the next big release of Chrome OS, which I think is probably this fall. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, I mean, I know I could not hack it, but modify the Chromebook to run Linux now. But I kind of would like to leave it in production mode since it's the only Chromebook I have, and I don't want to mess around with it, even though it's not too hard to recover. I think.
But would you build any, assuming that it comes up with the container Linux, do you have any apps you would put in a container just to use on it?
I kind of like to have a Python development environment. That's all. And I don't need a GUI. I'm fine with just, you know, I can use VI or Emacs or something in, you know, text mode to do development. I don't care. I'm old school. Yeah, I don't need you youngins' fancy GUI IDEs. In my day... We use flip switches to boot our computers.
We played our computer keyboards like an actual keyboard.
That's right. You know, I mean, you know, you wrote a program by typing cat/dev/tty redirect a file name, man. No editing. Yeah, that's when, you know, programmers are programmers.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody was afraid of an assembler, but anyway. Okay, so I think that's about all I've got for this mobile views. Got anything else to add, John?
No, I think we've gone through the good old days to the current to the present day.
Yeah.
We just bridged in the last 5 minutes everything from, you know, assembler and dip switches all the way up to virtual assistants throwing shade. So yeah. I think we've hit it all.
Yep. And we have concluded that Google Home actually was the most responsive in terms of actually producing news about WWDC, even better than Siri.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah. We didn't ask Cortana because I don't have anything that runs Cortana anymore. Or on my desk, I should say. Alrighty. That is all I've got, John. Thank you again. Mobile Views Podcast 258. John and I meandered through. John was more excited. Actually, John is kind of excited about WWDC.
I try.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, we'll talk to you next time.